Be reading the fourth chapter today. Again, that is the book of Jonah in the fourth chapter. While you are flipping there, I want to kind of reflect back into my childhood a little bit with you. When I was a kid, I was an adventurous one. I loved to run around. I loved to explore. I love to do anything and everything that kept me from being inside. I loved the outdoors. I loved doing anything that would be crazy and considered crazy because it made a cool story. Little did I know I'd be able to share those in sermons, and it worked out perfect, right? But when I was a kid, we loved the water. We would go into creeks, we would go into rivers, we would go into ponds, we would go into mud puddles, we would go into the bathtub and make a mess in the bathroom. Whatever it was, if there was water, we were in it. And as a kid growing up, you always had friends and you always made friends. And one of our favorite things to do was to explore the creeks around. And we had this favorite creek, and it actually had a dam in the middle that was connected to a hydraulic pump. So actually, as the creek fed through, it created electricity for a plant that they used in town. And so there are all these warning labels and everything around that. But you could take a trail all the way up to this dam, and then on the other side, you could jump in and swim down the creek and explore. And so we got to the dam, and we jumped in the water, and we headed down the creek, and we took off for a great day. And we didn't keep track of time, because you never do as a kid. And we ended up trying to come back up the creek and get to the dam, and we were successful at that. But at that time we got to the trail, we thought that since it was dark and we needed to get back home quickly, we could take a shortcut to through the woods. And lo and behold, I was the mastermind behind that. I decided, hey, you know, if we cut through here, we can get back faster. And so in these woods, there's thorns and there's bristles and there's random animals. And so it took some convincing and way more time than it would have taken us to go down this trail to convince them to go through the woods. But nonetheless, I was very good at what I did. So I convinced them. We headed out through the woods, and about 20 minutes had passed, and we're going through the woods. We're getting cut up. We're getting beat up. We're getting beat by or eaten by these weird mosquitoes and insects, and we finally get to a cornfield, and I have no idea where this cornfield came from. I had gotten lost about 20 minutes ago, but wasn't going to tell them. I didn't know where we were. And so we get to this cornfield, and I come up with this amazing story. I was like, oh, this is the place I was looking for. As soon as we cut straight across, we're going to be where we need to be. And so we take off through this cornfield, and because we're super late and we're going to get in trouble because we didn't make it back in time before dark, we take off running. And I don't know if you've ever ran through a cornfield, but it does not feel good, especially when the only thing you have on is a bathing suit. So not only have we been cut up by briars and eaten by insects, we now are slashed open by these corn husks. And we get back across the field, and we finally make it, and I can see a light, and I'm like, guys, we're here, we're here, this is where we need to be. And we get through the cornfield, and we open up to the light at the start of the trail, right beside the dam that we were at 25 minutes ago. And so I had convinced my whole group that I knew where we were going, and I had no clue. I thought it was going to be easier. I thought it was going to be better. But it turned out that it was so much heartache and so much pain that we inflicted on ourselves, only to get right back where we were in the beginning. And for me, it was a lesson learned, because I did it like 12 more times. But what we find out is that all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, think we know what we're doing and think we know better and think we have a better alternative than the path that is clearly laid out. And if we're honest with ourselves, we do the same thing with God. He calls us to something and we see it. We know this is what we're supposed to do. But in the back of our minds, we're like, hey, but if we cut through the woods over here, I can do it better. And that's what we're going to look at today, a story of how Jonah had a path, a call from God, and he thought he knew better. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time to come and to see wonderful stories of a life well lived, but also to see stories that can teach us something. Lord, that can teach us how we should follow you, even if we think we know better. And Lord, help us to see the truth today, that it's your way, not ours. And Lord, that we should follow you, no matter the cost, and no matter how crazy it may be, let us follow you. In your name I pray, amen. If you haven't turned there already, turn to Jonah chapter 4. We're gonna read the whole chapter. It's only 11 verses, so shouldn't take too long. But it is up on the screen as well as in your Bibles. So God's word says this in Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it was withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left hand, and also much cattle? If you're not familiar with the story of Jonah, that's okay. But it's a pretty interesting story. It's probably one, if you grew up in the church, that you heard pretty well. One in the theology realm that we debate because all the pictures show a well, but the Bible says fish, right? And we don't know if it's a well or a big fish, but what we do know is Jonah spent the night, three nights really, in the belly of a fish. And we see that Jonah, kind of like me, thought he knew a little bit better than a well-drawn-out path. God called him and told him that you're going to Nineveh and you're doing this thing for me. You're going to go and you're going to tell them who I am. You're going to tell them to repent and you're going to tell them to follow me. And what we see is that Jonah thought he knew better. And Jonah thought he had an idea of what was going on. So instead of going to Nineveh, he went in the opposite direction to Tarshish. He got on a boat, he headed out to sea, and he thought, hey, you know, there's this cool thing. It's called God, and he's all powerful, and he's all knowing, and he can control everything, and I bet you I can run away from him. And Jonah took off on a battle he could never win. And he got in the boat, and the boat got into a storm, and the crew was throwing stuff left and right, and finally woke Jonah up, and Jonah realized exactly what was happening. He realized God was causing this storm. And so he told his crewmates to throw him overboard, and over the boat he went. And he was swallowed by a fish, and in that fish, he had nothing left to do but to think and to pray. And so thinking and praying, he went. And he prayed, and he thought, and he prayed, and he thought, and he realized what God was calling him to do. He said, hey, look, you're going to go to Nineveh. You're going to do what I needed you to do. And so, after 3 days, Jonah gets up out of the fish, and he gets spit out onto dry land. And where did he get spit out? Does anybody know? Say it out loud. Nineveh, right? Right back to the path where he left in the first place, right? He decided to take off on his own direction, on his own plan, on his own way. And he found himself, after much heartache and much pain, right back where he needed to be, right back on that path God had planned for him. And so he gets out of the fish and he gets on the dry land and he heads to Nineveh and he tells them all about God and he challenges them and tells them, hey, you have to repent. And Nineveh repents and believes. And Jonah, you would think, would be excited, would be thrilled, would be clapping, would be celebrating, but instead is angry. He sees a whole city, a whole country at that time, come to know Jesus, and he's mad. And this story is what is crazy to me, because we see that a prophet is one that is supposed to do what God's called him to do, but he runs from it. And we see in verse 1 exactly how Jonah is thinking about life. And we see, as verse 1 says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. If we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and can save us from our sins, then anytime someone believes that as well, we should respond with excitement, with joy, with praise, not with anger, and not with being displeased. But Jonah was the exact opposite of what he should have been. He was displeased. He was angry. And he should have known from the very beginning that when God called him to be at Nineveh and God called him to tell them to repent, that God was going to do what he wanted to have happen. He should have known from the time that he was in the boat and the storm came that God was in control. Yet he still wanted to change the outcome of what was going to happen to Nineveh. He should have known from the beginning that God is God, and that he can do whatever he pleases, and that he can do whatever he wants. Yet Jonah was still upset when God did whatever he pleased and whatever he wants. And this is the first thing we see that happens to Jonah in his response to God's way, is anger. We see that in our lives, we're probably very similar. That we want what we want, and when that doesn't happen, we get angry. If you don't understand that, we have a children's ministry you can definitely serve in, and you'll find out pretty quickly that if they don't get what they want, they get angry fast. And this is what happens with Jonah. He didn't get what he wanted, and so his response was anger. And in his anger, he resorted back to being a kid. He threw himself a little pity party. You know the one, when a child doesn't get what they want, the first thing they do is stomp their feet. Maybe they bring out some tears, get a little puppy dog face to try to get you, to convince you to change your mind. And then it gets even crazier. They start screaming and they start yelling things and they try to embarrass you in public. And then they slam the door. But if you're like me, you lose the door if you slam the door. So they only do that once. But they keep going over and over again to this pity party for themselves, all because they didn't get Cheerios or their favorite breakfast, or in Jonah's way, because people knew Jesus. They threw a pity party, and their life was suddenly terrible, even though it was going pretty good. And for Jonah, he was back to this little kid. He was angry. He was upset. He was frustrated. And this was his response in verse 2. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? And this is one of the things that blows my mind about the book of Jonah and the story of Jonah. Is if you're not familiar with it at all, he is what is known as a prophet, someone who prophesies about God, who tells about something that is yet to happen, but going to happen, and then he calls people to follow what he's learned. And so Jonah, of anybody in the Old Testament, apart from the prophet, should know that when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. And in fact, Jonah tells us he knew this. In verse 2, he says, "Is this not what I said when I was in my country? That I fled for this very reason. I know you're going to be merciful. I knew you were going to save those people. So why'd you bring me along? Why'd you do it? I knew you were going to be the one God that was going to save them. I knew it." Yet he still thought he could change the path of God. And he knew all along that he was going to be forgiving. And he knew all along that he was going to save those people. And he knew all along that God was an amazing God. Yet he decided to keep his salvation to himself. He was selfish with what he knew. He was selfish with his faith. And to be honest, we might be just like Jonah. Think about it. How often do we share our faith? How often do we live in an expectancy of God to work around us? How often do we follow God's way? Or how often do we hit the highway? Do we get in a boat and run from people? Do we go to our jobs and remain silent with the people around us? Do we spend countless of hours practicing sports, but mere minutes studying the Bible and worshiping God? Do we hit the lake on a Sunday, rather than spending time in worship with God? Do we pass countless of people that are broken and dead in their sins and sit idly by without ever sharing our faith, without ever sharing the good news of Jesus? Are we selfish like Jonah with our salvation, with our faith? Are we hitting the highway, or are we going on God's way? Because what Jonah did is what we often do. I'm guilty of it, and I bet you are too at times. But you see, Jonah didn't just hit the highway. He came back to God's way. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll try to run, we'll try to flee, we'll try to do whatever we want. But eventually, we just keep coming back to God's way. And we can save ourselves a lot of time, a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, if instead of going our own way, we start out with God's way. But Jonah finally getting back to Nineveh and finally getting pressured to do what God has called him to do and does it, he sees God work and he sees the people believe, and he was ticked. And I don't know about you, but it would be absolutely amazing if I could walk out these doors back here and tell anyone about Jesus and they suddenly believe. It would be an amazing ability, and I would be an unstoppable force. But it's not that way. We're going to go outside these doors, and we're going to see people, and we're going to share Jesus with people, and they're going to respond in many different ways. They may respond by knowing Jesus, or they may respond by laughing at us. But we must continue the path. But for Jonah, Jonah got the best of both worlds, right? He went his own way, and then he came back, and then he still didn't want to do what God wanted him to do, but he got to see God at work, and he got to see people come to know Jesus, even when he didn't want to do it. Yet he was still angry and still upset. And if we're honest with ourselves, that's us too, right? We even see people come to know Jesus, and we get frustrated with it. We see people walk into the church that have lived a crazy life, and we're like, huh, what are they doing here? Or maybe we see somebody that has lived a crazy life and comes to know Jesus, and we're like, yeah, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. And instead of worship and instead of praise, we have selfish anger. And what I want to challenge y'all today with that is to turn that around. Rather than selfishness and anger, have God's desire and bring praise when people come to know him. And after seeing everything that is going on, we see that Jonah, even in his selfishness and even in his anger, doesn't catch God off guard. God responds with a very simple question. Do you do well to be angry? And have you ever seen anyone that has just done something really, really dumb? Like the only thing you can do is just sit back and be like, really? Did you think that was going to work out? And did you think that was going to be any good for you? When I was a kid, I had a lot of fish tanks, and I had a tropical fish tank that was a very aggressive tank, and I had a shark in it. And the shark was really cool, but it was also really big, and it didn't fit in any of the attractions, but it thought that it could. And so all the time I was coming home, and this thing was stuck in some place in the tank. And finally, one day it got stuck and couldn't get itself unstuck. And so I spent about 20 minutes trying to get the shark out of this attraction. And as soon as I did, I was so excited. And you know what that shark did? Swam right back in, right? And got stuck in the same spot I had just got him out of. And my only response was like, dude, seriously? Like, what are you doing? Like, I got you out. And now you're right back in. And this is what I imagine happened with God and Jonah. He's watching Jonah run from him. He's watching Jonah do his own thing. And then he's bringing Jonah back. And he even lets Jonah be a part of an amazing event. 120,000 plus people coming to believe in Jesus. And Jonah's like, huh, I don't even know why I was a part of this. And God's sitting there like, dude, seriously? Like, not many people get to be a part of such an event. Yet God never lost his patience. Because even in that moment, he still continued to help Jonah. Jonah left the city, and he began to make his own little place in the desert, and he built a hut, and he was going to watch the city burn, or so he hoped. And even then, God was still with Jonah. Let's see what happened in the last portion of this chapter. In verses 5 through 11, God's word says this: Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do. I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" So at Jonah's pity party, he heads out to the desert. Why? I don't know. We just got back from camp, and it was hot. It was hot inside. It was hot outside. So if there is ever a chance to just chill out, I'm definitely not heading to the field at camp to hang out. I'm going to the place that has the coldest air conditioning. Yet Jonah was like, hey, I'm heading to the desert. I'm going to watch this city. Why? Maybe because he was angry. Maybe because he was frustrated. Maybe because he just wasn't thinking. But he headed out, went out to the desert, and he built himself a little hut. But what God realized was that hut that he built wasn't going to keep him shaded, wasn't going to keep him cool. So God, being God, wanted to care for Jonah. And so he caused the tree to come up and give Jonah even more shade. And he wanted to get rid of the comfort of Jonah. Not just help Jonah, he wanted Jonah to be completely comfortable in the shade. And this is the same Jonah that didn't want to listen to God in the first place, that got angry when God did his own thing, that got angry when people came to know him, yet God still wanted to take away the discomfort of Jonah. That is the God we serve. And Jonah was super excited. He's like, yo, I got a plant. I got even more shade. This is great. Right? I think of this being a little kid that's angry and that's upset. You crack a joke in the middle of them being angry or sad, and they're crying and they're yelling at you, and then all of a sudden they're laughing because you told a really funny joke, and then that joke goes away, and what do? They go right back to crying or right back to being angry. And so for a temporary moment, you get to see the kid unsad or unangry. But then it comes back, and it usually comes back even worse. And the same thing happened with Jonah, that he was excited. It's like, yes, I got a tree. And then God decides to take that tree away. And with that tree goes any form of happiness for Jonah. He was happy, and now he's sad. And when it went away, Jonah went right back to his little pity party. But God was going to use this time to teach a lesson. And that's the third thing we see from Jonah, is that we learn a lesson. And that the tree goes away, and Jonah responds with his classic pity party. Woe is me. You know, Jesus, if you could just go ahead and kill me now, that would be great. Right? It's better for me to just die. And so Jonah was back to his old self. I know better than God. I don't need to live anymore. Just take me now. Life is worthless. But God knew more, and God knew better. And God had an enormous amount of pressure and patience with Jonah, because he was going to make Jonah do what he needed to do, but he was also going to be patient in how he handled it. The shark I was telling you about earlier swam into the attraction again. I got him out again, and he swam right back into the attraction. I was so mad, I took everything out of the tank. Like, the only thing he had was water enough to live. Right? I was not patient like God was patient. But God continued to work with Jonah and continued to teach him. And rather than taking everything away, he sat down and he had a discussion. God once again asked the question, do you do well to be angry? And this time, we see that Jonah answered the question. He said, yes, yes, I do. I'm angry for this plant, and it is okay for me to do so. And so God comes back with a response. And if you've ever been a part of a debate, there's this thing called a gotcha moment. And a gotcha moment, right, is an opportunity that you win the debate when you get to this gotcha moment. You've said something, you've done something, you have allowed everyone to see the truth, and nobody can come back from it. There's nothing they can say, there's nothing they can do to get back from the gotcha moment. That is the moment you've won the game. And so, in this moment, God has reached the gotcha moment. He's told Jonah a simple thing. He gets him. Says, hey, Jonah, can you be mad at this plant? Can you really pity the plant? It just came up yesterday and went away today. Are you really upset with this plant? And Jonah says, yes. And God says, okay. So if you can be sad about a plant that came one day and was gone the next, why can't I be sad about a city full of 120,000 people that doesn't even know their left from their right? They're so bogged down in sin that they can't even tell whether they're moving to the left or moving to the right. Why should I not pity that city if you can pity this tree? And God was able to teach Jonah. Now, we don't know what happened after this. Some speculate that Jonah continued to stay in the desert in his little pity party. Some speculate that Jonah went back to Nineveh and continued to help teach the gospel there. But what we see is that it ends with this lesson, that God wanted Jonah to see that people are worth it, that people need God, and God's going to use Jonah to get those people, and God's going to use you to get those people, and that people are worth it. No matter where it takes us and no matter what we do, people are worth it. And God is worth it. That if he calls us to it, he's going to help us do it. And that if he calls us to it, then we should do it, because the people are worth it. And what I want us to leave with now is the three takeaways from this chapter of Jonah. The first one is that we cannot control God. Jonah tried. He wanted to dictate what would happen to Nineveh. He wanted the city to burn. He wanted the people who were lost in sin to die in sin. And he tried his very best to make that happen. Because when God said, Jonah, you're going to be the one that helps Nineveh see their wrongdoing. And you're going to be the one that helps Nineveh come back to me. Jonah says, nope, I'm out. But God cannot be controlled. And what he wishes to happen is going to happen. And if he wants us to be a part of that, we're going to be a part of that. And we can be a part of that in a joyful and in a happy way, or we can be a part of it in a bitter and painful way. But we cannot control God. The second thing we learn from Jonah is that God is a God of mercy. Yes, he is one of wrath, and yes, there is judgment at the hand of God, but there is also mercy at the hand of God. We are given hope, and we are given salvation, and we are given forgiveness, not because we earn it, but because that is who God is, and that is what God gives. And the same mercy that God gave to us is the same mercy that we should hope God gives to other people. And that Jonah couldn't quite grasp this idea. He couldn't quite understand that he had received mercy from God, that he had been forgiven. And he couldn't quite grasp that so too should Nineveh. But we must remind ourselves on a daily basis that the people in our lives, the crazy ones, the ones that are difficult to be around, the ones that are causing a lot of trouble, are the same people that can receive the mercy of God, the same mercy we received. And then the last thing we should see is to rejoice in God when we receive blessings, and rejoice in God when we have no clue what's going on. For Jonah, he got to be a part of an amazing story. He got to see 120,000 people come to know Jesus, and he should have been rejoicing. But he had no clue what was going on. And in our life, we're going to have a step that's going to happen where we know exactly what's going on, where we know what God is doing. Maybe we're at a summer camp, and we see that people left and right are coming to know Jesus, and we're a part of it, and we're excited, and we're happy. And there may be a moment in life where everything around us is falling apart and we have no clue what is going on. In both cases, rejoice in what God is doing, because what God decrees will happen and what God wants is coming to pass. And so whether we understand it or not, we can rejoice in the fact that what God says is going to be the case, and that what God teaches us is that there is salvation at Jesus and his death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. And that one day we will get to be with him forever and ever if we know Jesus. And so we can rejoice in the good times and we can rejoice in the bad times. But we should always rejoice for the mercy we have been forgiven. And so what I want to challenge you with today is to focus on these three things. Where are you at? Are you still at number one, trying to control God? Trying to figure out what happens in life and how you can be in control? Or are you understanding that he's the one in control? Are you still stuck on this fact that you haven't received mercy and thus can't understand why anybody else would? Or are you at the point where you understand that God's in control and you understand that there is mercy freely given from Jesus on the cross, and that through Jesus we can have a life that never ends, and thus we have no other option but to rejoice in it? Wherever you're at, I want to challenge you to think about it. If you know God, make him known. If you don't know God, know him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time to come and look at your word and look at your truth and see the story of Jonah, an interesting one, a crazy one, one full of lessons. Lord, help us to see that it's your way, not the highway. Lord, that we can't control what happens to us and we can't control what you choose to do. But that's okay, because you're in control. And we are thankful for that, because you know what you're doing. And Lord, we just ask that you open our hearts and open our minds to see where we are at with you. That if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Lord, that they take the time to trust in Jesus today, and that they take the time to know you. Lord, let us leave here with a passion to know that your way is to make you known. And so let us go and make you known. In your name I pray, amen. As the musicians begin to play, take time to reflect on God's word, to focus on that mercy you've been given, and that mercy that you can receive through Jesus Christ.